I just want to start out by saying it's an honor, privilege to be here tonight. It is always nervous about preaching at one, a new place the first time. But I get nervous, to be honest with you, about every time I preach, even when it's at the home church, because I don't want to get up there just to say a sermon. I want to get up there with the message. You got too many preachers out there taking sermons too lightly and just getting up there just to tickle somebody's ears, soothe the scratcher for a little bit. But, you got enough up there. You got a few that's getting up there and having messages from the Lord, that's gotten on their knees and got something from God and gotten something from heaven. That's what we need more of, especially in this day and in this hour. If there ever was a time when the time for easy preaching is done with, it should be now. With the way the world's going, the way the government's going, the way everything's going, we need more of Jesus and less of this world, even more now than we ever have. I'm thankful, like I said, the opportunity. I've known Brother Derek a long time, for, 28 years for his. We grew up. If he'd tell you stories, I'll tell you. He can tell you the stories, and I'll correct him after he finishes telling you. He claims, one of the funniest things, he always claims that, I never would let him play with my toys when younger, and when he'd come over, all I'd have give him was a sock with a knot in it, and I'd have all my toys playing together, and he'd have just a sock. But no, I love him. Wonderful work he's doing here. I asked him one time, I said, would you ever thought that somebody would have told you that you'd be pastoring a church just an hour over from our house, that you would even thought, what would you have told me? He said, I'd never in a million years even thought. Just to think that there was a good church just a little bit over an hour from where we grew up. I mean, 31 years. The pastor founded and started. But that just shows you what the things the Lord has in store for you. Never know. You never know what God has in store for you to do. But the thing is, you just got to stay open to Him. Say, God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, Lord. Just point me in the right direction. Tell me, you go there. And then do it and be willing. If you would, just turn with me. He's right. I don't mind if you say amen. I don't mind if you shout. You shout it down, I'll shout with you. Daniel chapter 3, we'll preach just for a little bit tonight. The title probably needs work, but I mean the message I hope gets it across. With scenes, with the things that were being sung tonight and the songs, I guess it's a little bit of confirmation. Any preacher likes to, even when they know they got a message from the Lord. Lord, just give me that little bit of, just let me know I'm on in the right track, in the right state of mind. And then you go singing songs about victory in Jesus and just having power and victory, having victory in His name. And so tonight I just want to touch a little bit on the subject of He's still God, even when the battle rages. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, just a little bit of reading. I do apologize if you didn't get your reading in today. You will now. We're starting at verse 1. It said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth there 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, everybody." Everybody, nobody left out. Everybody, no matter what language you speak, you got to do this. That at what time you hear the sound, and forgive me if I don't pronounce these right, the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Whosoever falls not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Just keep that in mind, that there, it wasn't a surprise to the three Hebrew boys of what happened to them. But he made it known that what was going to happen when you didn't bow down to the idol. We're just going to skip a little bit. Wherefore, at the time the certain Chaldeans came in and accused the Jews, they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And then whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." There are certain Jews who has set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye not worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Whether it be pride or not, this man was saying that I'm a great king, and that there's nobody that you know, that nobody that you can talk to that is able to deliver you out of my hands when I put my judgment on you. But little did they know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and this is probably my favorite part of this scripture, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. And I just want to stop right now. I'm not done reading, but I just want to touch on that a little bit. It's about time that the Christians nowadays, the church we're in, the church body, not just Abundant Life, but the church that I'm from and the church that everybody's from. I'm telling you, it's about time that we stood up within ourselves when somebody comes to us and says, did you not do this? Would you do this? You need to worship this guy. Why ain't you? I'm not careful. It's about time we stood up and said, I'm not careful to answer thee. Basically saying, I don't care what you think about me, that I serve this God, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm proud of who I serve. I serve the Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's about time we stood up when the world come against us and said, I'm not gonna watch my words around you. I'm just gonna tell you like it is. I pray to God that you would just get that in your system and say that I'm tired of bowing down. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of just feeling like the weak conversion to the people. I'm just going to stand up because I know with whom I serve. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And just a couple more, I know, I apologize. 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt upon them. And form of the fourth is like of the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors, these same folks that were called to worship the golden image, were there to witness this astonishing thing that happened right then. They were there to witness this power of this abnormal thing that's happened, this miracle, so to speak. He said, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth. Verse 27, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair on their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and had changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. I like to just preach tonight on, I mean, there's many titles you could go with, but preach, He's Still God in the midst of the battle, even when the battle rages. I was going to preach on just freedom from the fire and just touch on it a little bit in a different direction, but I'm just going to go in this direction. Even when the battle rages, a lot of times we go through this life and we face many things. We pray for a brother that's going through some situations tonight. at the beginning of the service. These facing different things, but there are many folks out there that are facing different battles and different things in their life that is taking tolls in their situations. Here we read about three Hebrew boys in the midst of this world. These called all these governors, the sheriffs, the high-ranking officials. It'd be like somebody calling the governor of Virginia, all the senators and all the mayors of all these cities. You're going to come to Richmond and you're going to sit and you're going to worship this thing that I've set up. Same thing for North Carolina, calling all these high-ranking officials. And in the midst of this world, in the midst of this battle, you know, you got three Hebrew boys and you got all these people that's going to bow down. This is the first. I just want to touch on some things that maybe just open your eyes on some situations that they might have been going through. In the midst of a world willing to bow down to an idol, three boys made a stand. You got all these people that were called to worship, and they didn't put up a fight. They didn't do nothing to stand against it, but they were willing to go because they were afraid, or maybe they loved the king, or maybe some did it out of fear, but they most probably were afraid of what was going to happen, because he did proclaim that if you do not do this, you will be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And a lot of us are scared. I'm not going to act like I'm some big man of fear. Somebody threatened to throw me in the fire, a little fear would rise up in me. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't like getting burned. I felt it before and don't want to do it again. But I'm telling you, these three boys had a faith that was so strong in them that even when he made that proclamation within them that if you do not bow down and worship this thing that I've set up, if you do not bow your knee and lift up your voices praising this idol that I have set up, that you shall be cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. And even with that proclamation of what was going to happen, that scripture said, we are not careful to answer thee. In other words, I don't care what you think about what I'm getting ready to say. I don't care what you think about what you think of me from saying this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, regardless of what you think about me, that I don't care what you say. I don't care what you're proclaiming to do to me. I don't care what you're preparing to do to me or do to me and my brother in here, that I am going to stand up for the God that I serve. I am going to stand up in the midst of this battle. You may threaten to throw me in the fire, but I'm going to tell you, we have a God and we serve a God that no matter what rages, no matter the temperature of the battle, no matter the hottest part of the fire, I'm telling you that Jesus is able to deliver, Jesus is able to save, and Jesus is able to bring us up out of here with a stronger faith than what we entered. You're sitting down there. The king was furious. How many believe Satan gets frustrated when we withstand his tactics? We'll be God. We'll be the God, how you say it. And we just make the devil throw away the blueprints. And man, he's making me mad. I can't figure out how to trip him up. I can't figure out how to get him. Crumble up them blueprints and I got to figure out another way. He's getting mad at us. It's about that time. And then we make the devil get mad at us. They made the strength of their faith known. Do whatever you want. God's still faithful. You can threaten to throw me in the fire. God's still faithful. I can tell you, anybody that's entering this Christian walk that thinks it's going to be a road that's easy, lined with lilies and roses and nicely paved streets, got another thing coming for him. I can tell you, is it a good life? Yes, it's a good life. Is it an easy life? There's going to be some rough struggles. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The difference in us going through a battle and to somebody out there in the world going through a battle, when they face hard times, when they face difficulties, they turn to the bottle and they turn to the drugs and they turn to this and they go to the bars. But the difference when a Christian faces a battle, you know what he can turn to? He can turn to the Almighty God who died on that cross, over 2,000 years. That is the difference in us. We serve a God that we can call on. We don't have to go to a certain place. We don't have to roll out a carpet and bend our knees, bow down there, and call out to a God that is dead. But we can call out to a God that lives. We can go to fall on our knees anywhere, whether we be at home, whether we be at work, wherever it is. I pray that we can call out to that God. That is the difference, and that is the joy of serving God. Will it be an easy road? No, it won't. But I tell you, you got a boss that you can turn to. Anytime you face hard troubles, anytime you face struggles, anytime you face difficulties, we can turn to Jesus. They made the strength of their faith known. They were thrown into the furnace that was hotter than usual. It was heated up seven times hotter. It ain't bad enough if we're going to get thrown in the fire, but he hates us so much, he's going to heat it up 7 times hotter. When it seemed like the odds were stacked against him and there was no way out, God showed up. I just want to point out some things, and maybe this is very elementary preaching, but I'm trying to break it down to you. I'm just going to just try to just maybe just show you some things that you read and just maybe haven't noticed. The battles they faced, one, not bowing down. They made a stand for right, despite what everyone else around them were doing. You got to admit, there's a crowd of folks that I don't know, don't even have a number, ain't even going to try to begin to tell you. Just going to say a lot. A lot of folks were out there getting ready to bow down to the idol, but you know there was three that stood up. And I said it in this message that you got to imagine them. They got three folks. Imagine brothers. Let's take Brother Shane and Brother Derek and Brother Eddie. That they're just standing in the midst of these folks in Richmond. Like I said before, they've called everybody, high-ranking officials, and everybody around. Man, don't you see what's going to happen? He's made it known what's going to happen if you don't bow down to this idol. He's made it known that you're going to be thrown into this furnace if you don't bow down. You got somebody looking up. Excuse my language, but you big dummy, you need to bow down or you're going to get in trouble. You got folks all around them. They were probably bumping shoulders with somebody in the midst of that crowd. But you got some saying, if you don't bow down, do you know what's going to happen? And maybe they said to them, yes, I know, but I tell you what, I'm not scared because I know with whom I serve. I know with whom my faith lies within. And my faith lies within the Almighty God that even if He does throw me in that furnace, even if I am in the hottest part of the battle, and you will be some point in time in your life, that you have a God that can deliver you no matter what temperature of the battle, no matter what happens in your life, just realize one thing, that even if it gets hot, Jesus is still Lord of all. Jesus still sits on that throne, and He is still able to deliver and help you. Is this water for me? I'm thirsty enough here. I don't care if I was the second one to drink out of that. I would have took a sip of it. They knew the consequences of not bowing, but they still didn't bow. That makes a difference. How many times, days of old, what's stopping somebody from walking in this church, not trying to strike fear? In this day and this hour, pointing a gun to your pastor and saying, if you don't quit preaching the gospel, if you say another word about Jesus, I'm going to shoot you. Would he strike fear? Yeah, I'd be scared. It's happened. Those of you who know Brother Powers, it's happened to him before. Brother Irvin, my pastor. Brother Derek's old pastor. Brother Shane's pastor. It's happened. He had a guy at work tell him and say, if you say one more thing about Jesus, I'll stab you. They knew what was going to happen. Did they back down? No. And in the end, Brother Irvin said there was a time when his daughter got in a serious car accident and that man come to him crying. And his faith stood strong. And he said, would you just pray for my daughter? She's been in a bad car accident. We know the consequences. Somebody coming in this church, and God forbid it would ever happen. And I pray, Brother Derek, knows I love you, and I'd miss you. Stand strong, man. We'd all miss him. I'm telling you, I know you got a wife and a kid you would never want to leave, but I tell you what, standing for the gospel and standing strong even in that midst of the battle, not buckling, even though the consequences, if he was to pull that trigger, God forbid, I'm not even trying to speak nothing into existence, but if he was, standing strong, that faith, facing peer pressure from those around him, like I said before, just standing in this crowd, how many of you work with folks that doesn't exactly believe like you believe. Thank God I work by myself. Sometimes the guy can be a jerk, but he's all right. But I'll get that later. But you got peer pressure. You work with those that doesn't exactly believe like you believe. And you're around folks that doesn't necessarily agree with the same things you do. School, those that are still in school. Those that are in college. You're going to run up with somebody that doesn't believe like you believe and are going to try to persuade you to believe like they believe. Which most of the time is nothing at all. How many, this peer pressure, I'm telling you, stand strong. Even when the battle's hot, I went through it and I had to explain out how many times why I never wore shorts in the summer at school. I always wore blue jeans. What? Why in the world do you wear pants all the time for? Was it a persecution? No, it wasn't necessarily a persecution, but I was sitting tired of that question. Why in the world? Just leave me alone. Let me wear my blue jeans. Let me sweat. But now you got these folks that's just going to try to get you to do this and do that. Well, I'm telling you, stand strong. Stand strong. Stand with that faith. Stand. Let it just be strong in your life that you say, no matter what happens, you can ridicule me all you want. You can talk bad about me all you want. But I'm telling you one thing. I still love Jesus and I'm going to serve Him. No matter what you do to me, will it be tough? Yes, it might be. Will it be rough at times? Yes, it might. Will it feel like the battle is raging and that it couldn't get no hotter? Yes, it'll get like that. But if I told you once, I'm going to tell you again that Jesus is the same. Even now, I mean, we're praising. We're having a good time tonight. The Spirit of the Lord is here. He is present. He has helped us. He's blessed us. We can feel His presence. Jesus is still Jesus in those hot times as He is here. He's the same God while we're serving Him, lifting up our hands and praising His name as He is in the hottest part of that battle. Just because you're facing things in this life doesn't mean that God is any less of a God. That means He's just letting you strengthen your faith a little bit. Even when you're facing things, I don't mean to sound repetitive, but I'm telling you that we're facing things in this life and we're going to face things, more things that the good Lord carries that are going to be rough and it's going to be tougher. Finances are not always going to be there. And who knows that the good Lord carries? We might not even be able to gather in church legally, but I'm telling you, if that ever comes to that point in time, that when we have this Word hidden in our heart, and we have that Spirit in our bodies, and that Holy Ghost dwells within us, that even if we don't meet in this church and not able to, if they put chains and padlocks on the doors, that Jesus is still God. Don't you think any less of Him just because we cannot gather in a building? We still have the church inside of us. We still have Jesus inside of us. We still have the Holy Ghost inside of us. And even if we can't, Jesus is still God. Even if it gets harder, we can't worship together. You give Him praise anyway, whether you're at home by yourself or with your family. You still lift up your hands and say, Jesus, it's tough and it's tight out there, but I'm telling you, I still love you. I still worship your name. I'm still going to give you praise for what you've done for me. Second battle. Facing the king face to face. They didn't buckle under pressure when they had to face him. It's one thing to act tough to somebody that doesn't hold a high rank. But if somebody of some got some clout underneath their belt comes and stands, I like to think I'm a pretty tough guy, but when the trooper comes up to my window or a cop, I tend to humble myself real good. Yeah, I tend to, yes, sir, yes, sir. Look forward, nod my head, yes, find out what I did wrong. But when that person, that authority figure comes up to you, you tend to buckle, you know, and that's out of respect. But these guys didn't. So we're not careful to answer you. We're not going to dance around our words. We're not going to tell you something you want to hear. We're going to tell you what we believe. But even if you do throw us in that fire and we burn up, we're still going to go to heaven. We're still going to have a home waiting for us. Even if God delivers us out of that fire, we're still going to serve Him. Even if He doesn't, we're not going to change our minds. Guys, I pray to God that we have that faith. That persecution. You read stories about persecution. Fox's Book of Martyrs, whatever it is. Those folks didn't buckle under pressure. They stood strong in their faith. They died believing that Jesus would deliver them. They died believing. Did they deliver? Oh yeah, they got delivered. Not in our eyes, where they should be delivered. But they got delivered all right. Regardless of how it happened, they still got delivered. Battle number three, and I won't hold you much longer, being thrown in. And what you did, what I never realized until I started noting this out, that the fire, the people that threw them in, the fire was so hot that it killed them. So in honesty, as soon as they got close to them, other guys that threw them in, they should have been dead. If you think about it, when they threw them in, they should have even been dead before they hit the ground because it killed the men that was throwing them in. They should have died from the heat when they were thrown in. They should have died from being in the fire.
But God showed up in the hottest part of the battle. But this is what stuck out to me too. That they were okay in the fire. Just reading it, they were okay dancing around, sitting in that fire. Because they didn't move until the king called them and said, come on up out of here, I want to talk to you. They were okay sitting, hey, you thrown us in here, so we're just going to stay. We're all right now. We got this angelic being here. We got this form like unto the Son of Man. We got him, and we're okay. We got this man now. We're doing just fine in this hottest part of the battle. We're doing just fine sitting in this fire. But he called him out. He said, I tell you what, oh, with the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is now going to be the God of everybody. Now that authoritative figure has turned his words. He said, now the God that you serve, we're going to serve. Now I'm going to make this decree that Jesus is the King of all. He didn't have to make that decree for us to know it. We knew it already. The fire, this is what I like. The fire is meant to remove what's not supposed to be there. The fire removed the ropes, the things that had them bound. Didn't singe their hair. Didn't burn their skin. But just burned the ropes. I'm free. So if I could tell you one thing tonight that you take home. When the battle's raging, when it seems like the flames are getting hotter, when it seems like the flames are just burning, and it seems like there's no way out of this. When it seems like that you're just laying there and God is not, you feel like your prayers ain't getting no higher than the ceiling. And you're crying out, and this feels like it's been days that Jesus has even spoke to you and let you feel His presence. He hasn't left you. He hasn't deserted you. Even if you have to spend a little bit of time in the fire, you just remember this one thing, that even the goldsmith and the silversmith had to put that gold and that silver in the hottest part of the fire to remove all the impurities in that gold and in that silver to make it what they want it to be. So when Jesus has got you in that part of that fire, don't count it. Don't think that He has left you. Just lift your hands and say, God, I don't know how long you're going to keep me here, but wherever how long I'll be here, I'm going to still have my hands raised. I'm going to still give you praise. I'm going to still give you glory. I'm still going to lift up my voice and my hands toward heaven and say, no matter if I got to stay here 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, however long it is, Jesus, I know that you are still faithful. I know that you are still God. And I'm going to proclaim it till the day I die that you are faithful.
Somebody can come to the piano. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Psalms 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Heat that furnace up 7 times hotter. All you want, you heat it up 10 times hotter. But when God's on my side, you ain't got a dart that you can... The hell ain't got a dart that they can throw at you that God's shield can't protect you from. There's never been a wind that's blown Jesus off course. When you're on the old gospel ship, you ain't got to worry about the thing. Are the winds blowing? They're blowing. But that ship still stayed the course. Psalms 118:13-14. Thou hast thrust sore at me, and I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Nahum 1:7, as she plays softly. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. You trust in God tonight, He knows your name. It's one thing to know of somebody. It's another thing to know somebody. It's one thing just to hear about somebody. It's another thing to have that personal relationship with somebody. And just to think, even when you're facing things in this life, and it seems like it's getting hotter, and it seems like it ain't letting up none, just know that if your trust lies within God, He knows your name. He ain't took His eyes off of you. He sees you. He sees the struggles you're facing. He sees the battles you're going through. He sees the things that are coming your way.
think it not strange. He ain't left you. He's right there. God ain't going to give you no more than you can handle. Sometimes we question that and think, God, dear God, you got some faith in me. You got more faith in me than Lord than I got in you, apparently. If you're throwing all this at me. But just count it not strange. One thing to take home in your church. Believe. Believe in Jesus. And I know you do. But I'm telling you, believe in the fact that He has never left you. We've all faced things. Some have faced things harder than others. But the thing about Jesus is He can able to comfort you no matter what battle you're facing. It's a lot different when you're just talking to somebody. They can say, well, I can pray for you. And that's a great thing. But it's another thing to be able to talk to somebody that's went through the same thing that you went through. And you can look at them and say, well, Jesus helped them. I know God's going to help me. If God could do that for them and God could sustain them through that trial and through what they faced, and I'm going through the same thing, I know God hasn't changed. So I know God's going to help me through the same thing. Amen. How many believe that tonight? Y'all believe God's still faithful? Y'all believe God's able to see us through trials no matter how hot it is? You believe in Him tonight? You believe that He can hold our hands through everything? The old poem, I know it's probably in quote, and I know you heard it, old Footprints poem. But it still stands strong. I'm telling you, if you think about those words, God, it was in that hardest part of that trial when I needed you the most. I look back, where were you at when I needed you the most? He said, it's in those times when you seen but one set of footprints when I carried you. So don't think that God's left you when you faced a hard trial. Just reach your arms up and wrap your arms around His neck because He's got you in His arms. So don't think that He's left you just because you're facing a hard time that is you've never faced before. Will you face a new battle? You'll face it. But I'm telling you one thing. I don't know what it is. I may not have faced what you're facing. But I know a God that you know. And I know that He is able to deliver and to help you tonight. No matter what it is that you're facing, Jesus can help you. Let us all find a place to pray tonight.